That's what the boy David said facing the giant Goliath. He said, he'll do it again. A bear came out. With God's help, I took care of him. A lion came out. With God's help, I took care of him. And he'll do it again. He's going to help me overcome this Goliath, this giant. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I so appreciate all the encouraging things and the service, the songs, the testimonies. Amen. We've been encouraged tonight. If you turn in your Bibles to Exodus 14, Exodus 14. Aren't you glad for the people of God? I don't know if I was sitting on the end of your pew if I'd be convinced. Amen. Aren't you glad for the people of God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you can hold your place there, let's stand tonight. We're going to pray for Juanita Oral's family. It's one of the situations that it could be imminent or it could be a few days or so, but these families definitely need prayer, and in particular from our church, the Redmond family and the Oral families and all of their kids and the grandkids. And this is Sister Juanita is a true saint of God, and she was an original member of this church that began in 1926, and she's been a great part of this. Last time I saw her, she said, "I'll be back. I'll be back." And so let's pray tonight that God would be there and hold her tightly in his arms and comfort this family tonight. Could we pray for them? Heavenly Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we're so grateful because of what you've done, Jesus. We have hope. Because you live, we shall live also. Lord, right there in that room, Lord, hold Sister Juanita in your arms and your hands. Receive her unto yourself, Lord. She's safe there. Lord, be with these families, Lord. May they sense and feel and realize your comfort and your strength and your help and your support. Oh, God, you're a strong tower. Hallelujah. Our faith is real. Your presence is real. Lord, be real in that room right now, God. May they sense your nearness. In Jesus' name, we're so grateful. Lord, bless the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, God, the remainder of this service. And all God's people said, amen. I'm just going to read one verse now, but before I do, if you'll remain standing for the reading, I don't mean this to sound disrespectful at all or irreverent, but the Holy Spirit beat me to this. If you'll remember, at the beginning of the year, I began preaching on PowerPoints, and I told you that I was going to take some stories of the Bible where God showed his power, and I was going to share those as encouragement to us. And we've had a hiatus from that, different things happening on Sunday night. But the story, the first story I was going to share is when God parted the Red Sea. And if you'll remember, last Sunday night, the Holy Spirit spoke through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, and his message to the people of the church was, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And I had comments made to me and emails and things this week of how encouraged people were from when the Holy Spirit spoke. And I can't add anything to that, but the same Spirit that spoke last Sunday night, he inspired the book that we read and the book we preach from. And that was the text. And so I want to share again from that tonight, Exodus chapter 14. We'll just read one verse of the story right now. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. In other words, your problems going away. Oh, hallelujah. What encouragement, those words. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to talk about standing still, but I want us to notice where it says, see the salvation of the Lord. Could I just put that in a little different wording? See the salvation of the Lord. Could I put it this way? Watch God work. Amen. See the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. My pastor, when I was in Bible school, and later when I taught at the Bible school, had an impact on my life, and he had several ways about him, and he said this expression both in public during service time when maybe there was a strain in the service or something was happening, and he said it sometimes on an individual level just to give personal counsel to people. But when he was up here behind the pulpit, he had this fan, and sometimes you'd see that fan and like that, and he'd come up and he'd take the mic and he'd say, "Now folks, let's hold steady. Let's hold steady." Sometimes an individual is really going through things, and he'd come up and put his hand on him and say, "Hold steady." And I wasn't intending to, but there is a brother amongst us that has a heavy load right now. And before I caught myself, I just went over and said, "Hold steady. Hold steady." You know, that's what God was saying through Moses when he said, "Stand still. Hold steady." It made me think of another scenario. You know, I've read a lot about in history of the military, and here's a small group of soldiers trying to hold a line, and this huge regiment of an army is marching towards them with all their weapons. And the instruction from the officer is, the only chance we have of defending ourselves is to hold this line, and we're few in number, so don't just start shooting. Wait until they get really close. And the men, as they see that formidable regiment marching towards them, and they can hear the clatter of the armor and this and that, they begin to get nervous, and the officer will say, "Steady, steady, steady." In other words, don't bolt, don't run, don't surrender, don't give in. Just stand still, hold steady. Wait, something's about to happen. Hallelujah. How many can hear it tonight for your situation? Stand still, don't bolt, don't give up, don't give out, don't give in, don't throw in the towel. Hold steady, don't despair. Amen, hold steady, be still, and watch God work. Hallelujah. Be still and watch God work. Amen. Geographically, we know the Israelites' position, and I'm going to talk about it in just a moment. But in front of them is the Red Sea, and behind them is the Egyptian army. They're locked in. They're hemmed in. There's nowhere to go. Amen. And there in that position, God says, stand right there. Stand firm. Stand still in that position. And geographically, it's the place between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. But really, what kind of place was that where God said, stand still? I want to leave three quick things with you about what kind of place that was. And I'm not going to go into great detail tonight. If you were here on a Wednesday night, we covered this miracle in the faith chapter and how God took the children of Israel across and killed the Egyptians, and we're not going to go into that detail. But what kind of place was that where God said, stand firm, stand still right there? First of all, they were in a place where they could do nothing about their situation. There was not one thing the children of Israel could do. Not one thing. They had just been slaves. They had no weapons. They had no armor. And here's the Egyptian army, and they have all the chariots. They have the spears and the sword. They couldn't do anything about the Egyptian army, and they couldn't do anything about the Red Sea. They had no bridge. They had no ships. They had nothing. They were in a place where they could do nothing about their situation. In verse 9, it says, the Egyptians pursued after them. So behind them are the Egyptians. A little later in the verse, it says they encamped by the sea. In front of them is the sea. And in verse 10, it said the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. What kind of place was it that God said, stand still? It was a place that they could do absolutely nothing about their problem. They could do nothing about their situation. Amen. You know, sometimes, and you're used to me by now, but my mind works in strange channels. But I got to thinking about this week. God, through Moses, told them in that predicament, he said, stand still. And I got to thinking, what else could they have done? They can't go forwards, and they can't go backwards? What else could they do but stand still? You know, God purposely put them in that situation. He put them in a situation where they could do nothing about it themselves. And he told us why. So he could reveal his glory and they could see his power and his deliverance. I'm telling you, what kind of place is it that God says stand still? It's a place you can do nothing about it. Amen. You that know me, you know I have an expression. I mean it. I don't know where I picked it up, but I like to tell folks to look up. And I walked into the hospital room and they're lying out on their backs on the hospital bed. And I pray for them, and before I leave, I say, look up. And they look up at the ceiling of that hospital room, and then they look at me like I'm crazy. And I've had some of them say, well, what else can I do? That was a place where they could do nothing about their situation. Are you there tonight? Are you in a place you can do nothing? Your situation, you are powerless. Things are out of your control. There is nothing that you can do. If you're in that place, if you would listen, you would hear the Lord say, stand still right there in the place where you can do nothing. Just stand. You can do nothing, but watch God work. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows when we can't do anything? He can. He can. He meant stand still. He didn't mean physically, Brother Cruz, because that's all they could do physically. Stand still. He's referring to the inward man. I mean, the Egyptians are there. The scripture's clear. They're frightened. They're full of anxiety. They're full of despair. They're full of hopelessness and consternation. They're confused. There's nothing they can do. They can hear the rumbling of the chariot wheels. They can hear the clatter of the Egyptian army. They can see the waves of the Red Sea and its depth. There's nothing they can do. And so God said through Moses, just stand firm. Don't bolt. Don't run. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What a stand still means? It means hold on. Don't give up yet. Hold on. God's about to do something. Have faith. Put your trust in God. You can't do anything but believe and have patience and watch God work. They had no choice. The only other thing to do was to perish. God put them in a place, in a position. The only choice they had was to trust Him for salvation or to perish. Amen. You may be in that place tonight. You have no options. You have no alternatives. And it really looks dreary because there's nothing you can do. Now that apparently looks like a bad place, but it's actually a wonderful place, because if you're in a place there's nothing you can do, you're going to hear tonight as an encouragement to your soul, stand still and watch God work in your situation. What kind of place was it? It was a place, they were in a place that doing what God told them to do had gotten them there. Have you thought about that? Hemmed in, Egyptians behind them, Red Sea in front. How did they come to that place? Doing what God told them to do. Look at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn, God said this, turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, and over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Hemmed in, Brother Steve, by the sea. But God told them to camp there. Now this isn't an occasion to blame God for our problems, but it lets us know something. You can be doing the will of God. You can be following the word of God. You can be a child of God and still get in places like I've just described, where you've got to have the help of the Lord, where situations are beyond your help and your control. You see, one of the most common ways Satan likes to attack us when we're having problems in our life as Christians, he likes to attack us and try to convince us that we're in the place we are because somehow we've done something bad wrong, and somehow we've displeased God, and somehow we've gotten out of his will, and somehow we haven't followed his word and his way. But that's not true. There are people suffering tonight, and the whole way into that place, they followed God with all of their hearts. Am I telling you the truth? Don't listen to that gospel that lied to you and say, you know, if you're really on good terms with God, everything's always, every time, good in your life. That's not biblical. These Israelites followed the commands of the Lord that led them to the place, hemmed in by the enemy, hemmed in by the Red Sea. Don't listen to the enemy when he tells you the reason you're suffering is because things aren't right with you and with your relationship with God. These were the people of God doing exactly what God told them to do. Amen. You know what? Here's the interesting thing, dude. I want you to get this and we'll move on. If they had never left Egyptian bondage, they'd never been in this difficult place. And I want to tell you, because the devil likes to use this. When you come out of bondage of this world, there will be times you'll end up in a place just like this. But don't do what these Egyptians did and said it had been best if we'd just stayed in Egypt. I'm just trying to say, just because you get saved doesn't ever mean you're not going to be in a place like this, falling to will. Oh, but God led them there. Why? Because when they got to a place obeying his will, apparently trapped by the Egyptian army, amen, God spoke to them through Moses and said, be still. Don't give up. Hallelujah. If I brought you here, I'll bring you out of this place. Hallelujah. How many believes that if God brings you to a wall, he'll take the wall down? Hallelujah. I brought you to the, be still. I brought you to this place, and I'm going to bring you out of this place. Oh, hallelujah. And then I want you to notice they were in a place where their past caught up with them. Their past caught up with them. Verse 8, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of his army, Pharaoh's army. They overtook them encamping by the sea in Pahahiroth before Belsaphon. Amen. They were pursued by the Egyptians. You can read earlier in the chapter, the Egyptians said, what did we do letting them go? Amen. They were in a place where their past caught up with them. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. A lot, especially, it doesn't have to be new converts, but especially new Christians, amen, they reach this dilemma. There's a time when their past catches up with them. And the worst thing that can happen is to surrender to your past when it catches up with you. Amen. This Egyptian army that had held the children of Israel in bondage, here they come after the children of Israel. That's the past catching up with them. Listen, just like Pharaoh had to let the people of God go, the devil has to let you go and me go when we come to know Christ. How many knows that? He has to let you go. Egypt had to let the people of God go, but that did not keep Egypt from pursuing and coming after them, the children of Israel, after they were let go. Amen. You come to Christ, you call out to Christ, you will be saved, and Satan will have to let you go. But that does not mean he can't come after you. He will. He'll after you. He wants to put you back in that bondage, reclaim you for sin. Your past will catch up with you. You can apply it as you will, but for some, it's memories, trying to serve God in memories of the pleasure, or it's memories of the guilt and the shame. They catch up, they discourage the believer, and the believer says, what's the use? Look what I've done in my past. And the guilt and shame comes and reclaims. Maybe the past is the consequences of things you did in sin. You know, there are consequences to sin. God forgives sin, but the consequences consequences still come. And maybe it's the consequences of sin that has caught up with you. Maybe it's a reminder of Satan. Why are you trying to serve God? Don't you remember what you were like? Don't you remember what you did? Amen. You can't be free from that. I'm just telling you, the past likes to catch up with us. But it was in that place where their past has caught up with them that God said, be still. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just because your past catches up with you, you don't have to give in. You don't have to return to sin in the world. Even God's got a way to get away from your past. Hallelujah. Be still. Oh, I'm talking to someone. Your past has been after you all week, trying to drag you down and drag you back. Amen. Don't budge. Don't let it pull you back an inch. Be still and see God at work. Watch God work. And then they were in a place they could see no clear way forward. Not only did their past pursue them, but it looked like they had no future, no way forward. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Amen. The children of Israel had come to the conclusion they were going to die right there in that spot between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. This is it, they said. There's no way across the Red Sea. There's no way through the Egyptian army. We're going to die right here. They could not see the way forward. They could not see their way through that circumstance. I don't know how you might express it, but it might be this way. I don't see how I can go on. I don't see how I can face this. This looks like a dead end in my life. I can't see the road from here. I want to be a little transparent and share a little prayer that I have found myself praying many times. Lord, however I got here, this is where I'm at right now, and I need your help to get from here on into. Hallelujah. You see, they were expecting to die right there at that place. They were saying, I can't go on. We can't go on. We can't make it. Amen. I'm telling you, when you don't see a way forward, you're going to hear the voice of the Lord say, be still, watch me work, and there will be a way forward. You can go on. I said, you can go on. You can advance. Amen. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? And again, my little mind gets to messing with me. Have you ever seen him pray for someone in a Pentecostal service? This man over here, this brother's over here, praying for him, saying, oh, hang on, hang on. This man over here saying, turn loose, turn, hang on, turn loose, hang on, turn loose, hang on. What did God just tell them through Moses? What did he say? First of all, not be still. Now what did he say? Go forward. Be still, go forward, be still. They couldn't go forward. Hallelujah. What's that saying? God, how come you're telling us to go forward? You just told us to stand still, and we can't do anything but stand still. What God was saying, he was saying, look, if you'll have faith, you're going to see a way open up. You're not going to be standing any longer. That stand still was just till I work. But when I work, the command is, go forward. I'm telling you, when God begins to move, that's the time to move. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. God said, go forward. I can't go forward. God said, go forward. How? God said, go forward. I want to tell you two things. Number one, if God says go forward, he's about to make a way. And number two, going back is never an option for the people of God. There's only one direction for the people of God. Advance. Go forward. You say, Pastor, you've preached. I'm right up against it tonight. How can I go forward? Well, you be still. You fear not. You don't listen to the anxiety. You don't give into the despair. And you get one foot up and ready. You're being still, but you're ready. Because when God makes the way, you're going to go forward. Oh, hallelujah. How many's ready to watch God work? Hallelujah. I know that situation looks impossible, but it did for the children of Israel. Stand still, go forward, just wait on God till He moves. And when He moves, you move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How could they do that? How could they stand still? How could they believe they were going forward? I'm not opening a new sermon, but I'm going to give you three quick things. Number one, they could stand still. They could get ready to go forward because they had the presence of God. See, I've talked about the Red Sea in front of them, and I've talked about the Egyptian army behind them. But Sister Brock, the Bible also said that the pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, the very presence of God, was above the camp. And when the Egyptians got too close, the presence of God moved and became a wall between the Egyptians and the Israel. I'll tell you why. You can stand still. You can hold steady. You can hang on. You can stand firm, and you can be ready to move when God's... I'll tell you why. Because we got the presence of God. Anybody feel the presence of God in the house tonight? Amen. They had His presence. Secondly, they had His promise. He said, not only am I going to bring you out of Egypt, I'm going to take you into Canaan, a land of promise, a land that flows with milk and honey. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you got saved, He didn't just say, call on my name and I'll save you and I'll bring you out of sin and I'll deliver you from bondage. He not only gave you that promise, He gave you that promise. If I bring you out, I will also take you in. Glory to God. How can we be still? How can we be ready to move forward? Because we have His promise. We will not be stopped. Amen. We will not be defeated. There will be a day with our faith in Him that He will take us into the promised land. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have His presence? We have His promise. And thirdly, they could stand still. They could be ready to move because they were the people of God. They had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and God's not going to let His people be annihilated, His people be destroyed, His people be defeated. If you are one of the people of God, you will overcome. You will triumph. You will have thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ and causeth us always to triumph. Don't listen to the enemy. Amen. Don't listen to the anxiety. Be still. Don't listen to the fear. Be still. Why? Because you're one of the people of God, and the people of God, they're going through. They're going into the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just about done, but I just want to quickly recount the story. Amen. Moses stood there, the Egyptian army right there, readying their weapons, preparing for attack. But Moses stood, and God showed His glory. Amen. Moses stretched forth the rod, and that Red Sea began to divide. The waters parted. God did not drain the sea. God did not build dams. God stacked water up. You try that when you get home. Try to stack water. That's what God did. He stacked water up. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I suppose every kid from Sunday school get those pictures, you know, with those walls of water. Every kid imagine, you know, seeing fish in there and everything, and wondering what it'd be like to poke a finger at one of those walls. Amen. Didn't you do that? Well, they were no different then. I'm sure one of those kids tried it. I'm positive. You know what? It'd been just like water. That's all it was. But God stacked the water. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Not only did He stack the water up, He made the seabed dry so they wouldn't bog down. And as those waters parted, amen, remember, be still. But move forward. They can't go forward, but they're ready. And when the waters parted, here they go. Hallelujah. All the children of Israel marching. Amen. Maybe 2 million of them. They make it through the Red Sea up the bank on the other side. And God allows the Egyptians to begin to follow them. They drive their chariots following the Israelites into the seabed. They're coming. The children of Israel are looking over their shoulder. And here comes the Egyptians. Egyptian army. But when the Egyptian army gets in the middle of the sea, God allows the seabed to become mud again, and the chariots begin to bog down, and the soldiers can't march. And then God allows those waters of the Red Sea to come back to their original place, and the Egyptian army is drowned. No wonder God said, "Be still and see the salvation of the Lord." This Egyptian army that you see today, you'll see it no more forever. And I preached the other night, the glorious thing is, the Bible said on the other side of the sea where the Israelites were, the bodies of the Egyptians washed ashore. And I love to preach that, and I said I wouldn't get into it, but here I go. Amen. Here's this Israelite on the far side of the Red Sea walking down the beach, and there he sees an Egyptian soldier, and he turns him over and recognizes his former master. That master will never beat me again. That master will never take me in bondage again. That master will never ill-treat my family again. I'm telling you, that's kind of victory that God gives. Your past may try to catch up with you, but God's able to give you complete victory and sanctification. Amen. That thing will never bother you again. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for it tonight? I have no idea how Rebecca came. People moving, I don't know where to point. Came to sing that song tonight, but early this morning, somebody texted me and said that there's a song that I feel that the choir used to sing. They're not here, but they said the choir used to sing it. And just thought I need to share it with you this morning. Sent me the song as an MP3 file. And it was a song, "He'll Do It Again." You know, we have a lot of advantage the Bible folks didn't have. You see, when they stood there at that place, Egyptian Army Red Sea, they couldn't sing "He'll Do It Again" because he hadn't done that yet. They had no idea what he was going to do. But now that he's done it for them, we can say, "He'll do it again." You're up against it. But he did it for the children of Israel. He'll do it for you. Would you come, music? Be still and know and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. I suppose I've heard it before, but I heard a man testifying a while ago as I was preparing, listening to some things on the internet. He was getting ready to sing. And he was testifying what God had done. And I'm sure I heard it before, but he said, "You have to have the test before you can have the testimony." Hallelujah. We got these wonderful testimonies of the power of God because they were in a test. But the track record is good. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Not an Israelite perished that day. In the impossible situation, God solved it. Be still and watch God work. Don't look for failure in your life. Look for God to work. Don't surrender that important thing. Look for God to bring the victory. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift our hearts towards heaven. Could we do it? Say, "God, I'm going to trust in you. God, I'm going to trust in you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the power of God. Hallelujah. There's a multiplicity of needs that no human resource is going to begin to meet. It's going to take the power of God. So I pray, and in the prayer room, I kept hearing that old song we used to sing, and it's just scripture. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." I want to have some, if they would, come and stand. You're here tonight, and it's not a Red Sea or Egyptian army, but it's just like that, and that thing has you hemmed in. Don't seem like you can go any direction. You're hemmed in. You're totally powerless to do anything about the situation. But you say tonight, I'm going to be still in my heart, my mind. I'm going to be still. I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. And when God gets through, I'm moving forward. Amen. Are you here tonight? Would you like to begin to come and stand? I'm in that kind of situation. I need to just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Just come and press forward to the front here. Amen. Are there others? Are there others? You say, I'm in that place. We've already preached that physically they could do nothing but stand still. But in their hearts, in their spirit, in their minds, stand still. Anxiety, fear, despair, the voice of the enemy, but be still. Hallelujah. There's a lot of folks up here across the front. Church, make sure every one of these is prayed for. If you have to join me on the platform to get close to somebody, do that. Would you press in behind these? Do you hear? Those of you that come, I want you to hear me one time. Be still. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. It's already settled. You can't do anything. That's already settled. You can't do anything. Oh, He's a mighty God. God of Moses. God of Moses. Oh, hallelujah. Church, let's pray. Church, let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have His presence. You have His promise. You're one of His people. Hallelujah. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Believe Him tonight. Oh, believe Him tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't bolt. Don't run. Don't throw in the towel. Don't despair. Hold steady. Hold steady. Hold steady. Hallelujah. Stand firm. Continue in the things which thou hast heard and been persuaded of. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
Stand still and let God move. Stand still,
oh, stand still
and let God move.
Oh, God.
Standing still.
Oh, you're the the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When you feel you've reached the end, He'll make a way
Jesus, Jesus.
Stand still.
Jesus.
And let
God
move.
Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's
Jesus, we praise you tonight.
In the making.
Oh, there's a miracle in America.
One just for you, the
hallelujah.
Father.